This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, hello, and hello. Welcome to another episode of the Emma Gunn Show. I'm delighted to have you here, and I think you are going to be very excited about my guest in this new episode, because it's Ruth Crilly. And I don't think I have had more requests for a guest to appear on the show via emails, DMs, tweets, Facebook posts, Instagram comments, you name it. Ruth has been, well, I've been inundated, I'm not going to lie, inundated over the last few months with people asking for Ruth Crilly, who is obviously famous for A Model Recommends, to appear on the show. It's been something that's been in the works for a while, I'm not going to lie, but some things have been working against us, namely diaries and geography. But very recently, well, we had planned to do this, and at the time of recording, we still wouldn't have recorded the date that we had planned. We were looking to do something in the middle of the summer. We were going to make a bit of a day of it. I was going to go and visit Ruth, potentially. And then I got a message on a Monday afternoon saying, I'm going to be staying in London tonight now. Is there any chance you can do tomorrow morning? So, quick rejig of the diary. And of course, I was there early doors to catch Ruth. And I genuinely don't think I've had as much random fun during a podcast as I did with Ruth. It was the most fun to record, and I hope I'm not overstating this, basically came out of it just thinking, I'd like to speak to Ruth on a regular basis about anything, to be honest, about anything. She's just my kind of woman, and I had an absolute ball. We talked about all sorts, and I know I say that on every single introduction. I don't think it's ever quite covered all sorts. I don't think it's ever quite covered the breadth and range of topics that we cover in this episode. Everything from Iron Giants, from how she started A Model Recommends, her modelling career, Liam Neeson comes up, inner monologues, novel writing, I mean, hotels, Mick Jagger, it really is. When I say it's all in there, it really is. But I do believe we only just scratched the surface. Like I said, I had an absolute ball recording this, and even listening back to it, to check sound levels and all that kind of stuff, I've just been howling and just been smiling. So I genuinely hope that you have that experience with it too. It would be, God, how awful if you didn't. So I'm going to crack on because she's so requested a guest that I feel if I do an extended introduction, you might be quite cross with me. So here she is, Ruth Crilly from A Model Recommends on The Emma Gunn Show. I'm wondering whether this is going to be a slightly confusing podcast for people, because did you hear what Lily said about us?
About me and you?
Mm-hmm.
No.
She said that we're identical voice twins.
How funny.
And when I was doing my, because listeners, we've just done a sound check. When I was doing my sound check just now with Lily, I played it back and she said, oh my God, you sound exactly like Ruth. And then when she was listening to it, once it went live, her other half said, is that Ruth?
How funny.
So there you go.
Yeah, people, maybe we should make a little sound before we each speak, like bing bong. Oh, yeah.
Maybe that would get confusing. But if you ever need anyone to do any voiceovers, I am
a voice stunt double.
Yeah, like, you know, Joey Tribbiani's identical hand twin.
Yeah, let's do it.
You lose your voice and you're like, oh, I've got this gig in town today.
I'm a bit hoarse today. So
why is that, Ruth?
Well, last night
seasonal
was
bug?
The yes, it is a seasonal bug. Yes, the thing is, I do have two small children, so I'm constantly talking, but at a very low level. And last night I went to a party, and you forget you have to talk over the music, don't you? Mm-hmm. And it kills me; my throat's killing.
And you also have to talk over Nadine Bagger as well.
Nadine and I, our topics of conversation were unprintable.
Oh, I have absolutely no doubt. And the pictures that I kept seeing coming up were you, Nadine and Sam.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, to be on that rooftop.
There was a waitress. And after about half an hour of this conversation, I thought, God, she hasn't moved from that spot, like right next to us. I wonder why, you know, what's she doing lingering around there? And then I realised she's basically listening to us talking about cocks.
Oh, a subject upon which hours can be spent.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't go into it any more than that, really. But
this
waitress was absolutely intrigued.
Riveted.
She was riveted to the spot.
Well, as divine as it is to be in a hotel room with you.
It's an amazing hotel room, isn't it?
I have missed out on a penis because of this. The Iron Giant.
Thought you were going to say, I could have spent the morning in bed. I've had to come into London.
My life's not that interesting. I did some mining and did some Instagram.
The iron penis.
Yes, you have an iron giant in your garden.
I do have an iron giant. He's 1.5 tons of pure, disproportionately small penis iron.
But what is it when you go to the, what was it, what's it called?
Reclamation.
That's it. I was going to call it a recreation. What is it? Did he just speak to you from his little position? Were you like,
He didn't literally speak to me. That would have been brilliant.
Oh yeah, that would have been
And I would have paid twice as much for that. So this place, Wells Reclamation Yard, it's quite famous, I think. And they've just got every single thing you can imagine ever putting in a quirky garden. I mean, they've got missile launchers, old tanks. They've got a life-size bronze Russian soldier on a horse.
Wow.
A life-size bull. The Cossack is £12,000. So, you know, that one was out of the running. Also, I just thought, I can't look at you every day. And then we saw Barry, the Iron Giant. And he's sort of a copy of The Thinker.
Yes.
He's not a replica, but he's
in the neighbourhood.
He's in the neighbourhood. I feel he's a bit stockier, a bit more ripped than The Thinker, which I also thought was good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did have an emotional response. It sounds really wanky.
No.
And I never really get that with art or sculptures, very rarely. But I did. Yeah, I thought I could look at you
all day, every time.
Day. And then
you just had to have him.
Well, we needed something. Oh, this is going to sound so bad. We needed something to fill a space that we had in the gardens. So the people that we bought our house from, they were obviously well into these gardens, and they had like different zoned areas and whatever. And then there's this sort of rose circle. I think it must have had some kind of fountain or statue in the middle, but they took it with them. They took just everything. They stripped it. It was like locusts had gone through the house and garden.
Light bulbs gone.
Yeah. Insides of the fireplaces, which I'm sure were probably supposed to be part of the listing. They were gone. Anyway, so they took the thing out of the middle of this circle, and that's what we went there for, like some like little cherub or something, you know, like slightly fun. And then we went there and we were just spoilt for choice, just so much stuff. So we ended up with Barry.
Barry.
But then no one sort of told us, you know, when you buy something from a shop, you just assume it will get to your house and everything will be fine. So, you know, you buy a mascara, you take it back in your handbag. You buy a sofa from Habitat. You don't expect to have to take that with you on the tube. They sort of arrange delivery.
Yeah.
So I paid for Barry the Giant, and then they were like, all right, how are you going to get it home then? And I was like, well, that's your thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we do know someone with a crane, a lorry and a crane. I was like, wait, hold on a second. For some reason, I just thought like he'd get someone into the white van would just sort of ramp him up. They were like, no, you need a 40-foot Arctic lorry with a crane on the back. And then there was always thing like, how wide's your gate? Is it going to get under these trees? It's quite a thing.
It's quite an operation.
Yeah, it was. It was funny.
But does he look like he's always lived there?
Yeah, he looks amazing. I love it. But we've got to now. We've just got to stop getting quirky things because it's a bit like the circus has come to town at our house. We just keep collecting odd stuff.
But I'm addicted to the feed, your Instagram feed, because I keep getting inspiration. I'm sure. Is this your new thing? Is this your new love? Just like renovation inspiration.
What, interiors?
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? Funny enough, when we had our last house, So when we first bought a property, it was in London, it was a long time ago. It was when I was modelling, and my husband was not really bothered about buying anything. We lived in Shoreditch. He had had for like 15 years this amazing studio in Shoreditch before Shoreditch was cool. And I moved in with him when we first got together. And it was like we were in the epicentre of everything. Shoreditch was just about getting on people's radars. Everyone had started going to pubs there, opening pubs there, and it was great. But I really wanted to buy something, and you know, modelling was going well. And we bought a 70s flat in Leytonstone, and it was amazing. It was like all original, like wood panelling, cantilevered wooden stairs. I mean, it was incredible. And that I got the bug for mid-century then.
Right.
And then when we bought the house that we renovated, that one was sort of mid-century, but I made it totally mid-century. And I never, ever put anything on my Instagram about it. And I never really did any videos because I just thought people aren't... It's quite niche. And actually, ironically now, people are really into mid-century and Scandinavian design. But at the time, I just thought... It wasn't very Instagram friendly. If I ever put stuff up, it just looked dark and masculine and people weren't that bothered. So now that I'm in this house, which is like the Georgian dream, I just feel a bit more... I don't know, it feels like I get a nicer response if I put stuff up. People are like, oh, that's really pretty, or I love the detailing on that. So it's more rewarding for me to post stuff. Anyway.
Which is a good point to sort of go right back to the beginning. Of a model recommends.
Yeah.
And how it all started, because now you have this incredible platform, huge following, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm always really curious with people who start their own output, if that's the correct word. Like, what's the genesis moment? What's the day when you're like, actually, I'm going to write this down, or I'm going to take this picture and I'm going to see what people think?
Yeah, well, I suppose, God, when did I stop modelling? 2001 or year 2000, I'd left law. So I was doing a law degree at Birmingham University and I was in my second year, so only had a year to go. And I was like, I just hated it. I was so bored. There was a lot of photocopying involved. I spent all my time photocopying stuff in the library. I was just like, why don't they just sort of before computers? It wasn't before computers, but
I know exactly.
Nobody emailed anything. Yeah. You know, nothing was done by email. So I hated it. And then I left to be a model. But I was always a bit, there was a lot of downtime, lots of airports, lots of being on my own in hotel rooms. And I always loved writing. So I used to write down my anecdotes and I've been doing that for 17, 18 years. Got huge folders full of them, which actually
like
never,
diaries.
They never make it onto the website. So I need to do something with them, really. But
let's come back to that.
Yeah, let's come back to that. So I was always writing. And then I thought, it always sounds really mercenary when I talk about this, but if I'm completely honest, I knew what I wanted a model recommends to be.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that, I mean, everyone throws the term brand around now, but really no one was thinking about brands then like mm-hmm. that. And I didn't call myself Ruth Crilly. It was like, okay, I want this to be quite a positive site where I recommend stuff that I found on shoots.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of blogs, or a few blogs. Blogs tended to be, when I first started, people's very, very honest opinion. And I think that is brilliant and it completely had a place. But for me, I used to really struggle to write negatively about something
mm-hmm.
because I'd be writing it and I'd think, do you know what? I feel like I'm wasting my time because I'm writing something negative, it's actually quite a hard thing to do. And it just didn't come naturally to me. And I would always think, well, I'd rather be spending my time writing about something I love because I can write about it passionately.
Mm.
I'll always be honest and I give anything that's wrong with something. But I felt that when I was thinking about how I wanted to end up, a model recommends was like a really positive
mm-hmm.
name for it. And I don't know, it all just snapped one night and I thought, you know what, that's what I'm going to do.
Mm.
And it was supposed to be anecdotes from in the makeup chair, really. So things that makeup artists had recommended to me, and then in turn it was a model recommends.
Yeah.
But then I loved writing about beauty so much that it turned into just like full on testing out beauty stuff, talking about skincare routines, things that I tried.
Because I think I remember first hearing about you, and it was exactly what you said, you know, there was the blog space which maybe had the kind of some might say it was honest, but there was a negative tinge to it because mm-hmm. it would offer a perspective that magazines couldn't offer because yeah. of advertising. So you had that space, then you had magazines where everything was all fluffy and lovely. And yeah, this £58 cream is great, but mm-hmm. £58 is a lot of cash. And you really did sit in that space of, and it was a real niche. It was a real, actually, this is someone you can really trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that wasn't, it was sort of by design. But also it was just because that's your voice naturally.
Yeah. I am so paranoid even now about saying something that is not actually what I feel. So I'm constantly self-editing and constantly checking myself to make sure. And actually, I'll admit, at the beginning, I felt quite, when people started sending me stuff,
mm.
when I was first doing the blog, I did feel the pressure to talk about it. And I'd think sometimes yeah. I'd really struggle, be like, oh my God, they've sent me this cream. It's £200. But actually, it's not that great. I can't justify talking about it. I can't mm. have even one person go out and buy this cream thinking that I think it's amazing when mm. it's fine, but it isn't worth £200.
Yeah.
And I did struggle with that in the beginning. And I remember there were a couple of posts, which I think I deleted very early on, that I'd written. And you could really tell that I was suffering from the guilt, the mm. sort of guilt of PR sending stuff and feeling like I had to feature it. But of course now there's none of that because there's so much stuff. Mm. I mean, most of it, I'm really just cherry picking the stuff I absolutely think is a brilliant buy
mm.
and that, you know, is really a treat or really worth getting. So yeah, in the beginning it was slightly different. There was massive learning curve, very fast learning curve, because all of a sudden you've got a lot of people wanting you to try their stuff.
Yeah. And it's impossible to try everything.
No, I reckon I try 1% of the stuff yeah. that comes in because I've only got one face.
Mm.
And I've also, you know, most of the time I'm at home with two small children. I don't put the makeup on.
Mm.
So whereas I used to test maybe 5 foundations a week, now I might test one mm. every 2 weeks or one a month.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a different vibe, isn't it? Different deal.
Completely. How long between the first post and suddenly realizing that brands were into what you were doing, and were they getting in touch? And did you realize that's because you were helping them sell product? When did those dots join?
It was about 2 weeks after my first post that I literally got bombarded with people sort of contacting me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really fast.
Yeah.
And the selling product thing, that didn't click for a long time, actually, mm. maybe like a year or so.
Mm.
And of course, then things like affiliate links didn't exist.
Yeah.
Well, they might have done, but I mean, I didn't know anything about them. And in fact, no, they must have done. But yeah, I mean, I didn't use them. And so in a way, it felt like it was almost no skin off my nose whether it sold or not. I just wanted to write about stuff that I liked.
Yeah.
And for me, it was always the quality of the writing as well. You know, I wanted it. I wanted to write stuff that was readable and had a bit of a twist to it or a little bit of story behind it. So I was always looking for products where I had some kind of anecdote.
Mm.
But yeah, it was kind of a shock when I realised that someone told me that I can't remember which shop it was. It was a big London store. And they said, you cleared our shelves. You posted about that and you cleared our shelves. And normally we sell 2 units a week of that product. And everything just went. I was like, okay. And that was bricks and mortar as well. That wasn't an online sort of click through.
Wowzers.
And I thought, okay, that's quite flattering.
What do I do with this? What do you do with that? Is that when you get representation? Is that when you... Because I don't know how one would know how to make good on that. How to like, okay, well, I'm obviously helping this business. I'm having a great time doing what I'm doing.
Mm.
But there might be a bigger conversation, but I don't know how to start it. Like, what was the next step?
Yeah, so the turning point for the whole thing. Sam, my husband had been working with Sam from Pixie Boo on a shoot, and I think maybe Nick as well. And they were doing Fashion Face TV. That's what it was called then, before they were Pixie Boo. And she introduced me to Dom, and Dom was this amazing guy who my husband was like, no one can be that nice without an agenda. No one is that nice. And I was like, I think that he genuinely is a nice man. Like, no one, there's something wrong there.
That's so interesting you say.
Yeah,
that.
He was really sort of, he was not worried for me, but he was like, nobody will give you that much help. Because I used to sit in, Dom didn't have an office at that point. So I'd meet him in a coffee shop and he'd have his little backpack. And he'd chat about what I wanted to do with my website, because obviously I had to make it work, because that was then my job, you know. And I wanted to build it into something. I didn't know what was out there. It was just like this huge black hole, the whole sort of online
infinite
talent thing. It didn't
basically
exist. It didn't exist as a job. And my husband was like, yeah, look, nobody would sit with you. You've met him sort of 3 times, 3 hours at a time, and he's helped you loads. He hasn't charged you anything. Nobody does that. Mm. You know, he's a businessman. But as it turned out, obviously, because, you know, he's now one of like my best friends. He was. He was just genuinely helpful and had a real passion for what he could see could happen with the industry.
Well, listeners will know, because Dom's been on this show, that when I recorded with him, I then texted one of the Gleam family afterwards. She was like, well, how did it go? And I said, really good. You can just tell he's fundamentally a good person.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a nice guy.
Isn't he? But yeah, you're right. I remember, that sometimes when someone's nice, you can think what's really going on.
Yeah.
So it's good to
hear. Then I hooked up with Dom. And at this point, there was only me, Sam Chapman, Nick Chapman, Jim Chapman and Tarn. And Jim had only just started, and Tanya Burr, obviously, had just sort of started, I think she was called Pixie Two Woo.
Oh,
yeah,
amazing.
At that point. So
there's
they were
fabulous
Pixie Woo.
Picture in Dom's office.
Yeah, yes. Oh my God, that picture. So they all lived in Norwich, and because I lived in London, Dom had all these meetings with big brands to say, look, the internet's going to be a massive thing. YouTube is going to really take off. And because they were so far away, I used to end up inevitably going to these meetings with Dom, sort of like both of us sort of wheeling out, and he had his presentation, and you know, I was there for sort of like a real life anecdote, and people often just sort of not laughed us out of the room, but they were like, it will never take off. The internet? What are you talking about? YouTube? Well, you know, why would, you know, magazines will always be there and there's no room for this, you know? So it was a really exciting time.
I can imagine.
But
I
actually,
followed around
98% down to his enthusiasm, because I think he had the vision and I would never have sort of, I'm very good at being very disciplined. And if I know what I want to do and I can see it, and it's almost tangible, I will work my ass off at it. But I feel like if he hadn't had the vision and the foresight of saying you could do this with it, you know, I wouldn't have had that goal to work towards in a way.
I totally agree. It's like one thing to be putting out content all the time, whether that's a blog, whether that's videos, whatever. And but then it's like, well, how does it look like a business? Because at some point, like when did modeling phase out? Was it a conscious decision?
Modeling was phasing out already, which was partly why I started the blog. So in the early days of doing Model Recommends, modeling had gone to such a plateau. It was on a decline. I'd basically done everything I could do in London. And I'd had my heyday, I suppose. And I'd been in like every single high street window. Like at one point, I think I walked down the high street on Oxford Street and I was in 8 different front windows of shops.
That's incredible,
like doing their campaigns.
Wait, let's put a pin in that. What does that feel like?
It was quite cool. But I mean, I was sort of used to it because I'd done quite a few years of getting really good jobs. And it just seemed surreal. The whole modelling thing, it was like something I never thought I'd do. I never really wanted to do it. But when it landed on me, I was like, okay, I'll give this a shot. It's got to be better than photocopying stuff in the law library. So let's do that. But I always just felt a bit, I had like complete imposter syndrome about modelling. And I was never massively skinny to the point that you need to be or at that point you needed to be. I think it's a bit more relaxed now because they have to be. But you know, I was constantly told I was too fat, and that not by my agency, they were amazing, but on jobs when I went to agencies abroad, like especially in Milan, you know, it's like stripped down, let's take a look at you, no, you're too, you need to.
Is that dehumanizing?
Yeah, but it was so normal for that job that you just sort of had to take it or not do it. But I mean, everyone that I knew and that I hang up, that I mean, I still know quite a few people. I think it does affect you. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's only since I got pregnant with Angelica, I stopped giving a shit. I mean, I'd like to look toned and look nice, but actually there are things that are more important to me. So I don't really think about it anymore. But when you're like stood on a job and everyone's staring at you and they're going, that does not look good on you. And you're thinking, it's because of my thighs, isn't it? Oh my God, it's because of this. And, you know, yeah, it does affect you. But I think because I always had options, it was never too bad.
Yeah.
And I knew, I always, it was always sort of a temporary thing. It was like, okay, I've left law, but I am going to go back to uni. So it never really bothered me that much. I always had my exit strategy. I didn't have a strategy, but I always knew that I could exit.
That's good.
That makes sense.
If all your eggs were in that basket, then any knock could be devastating.
Yeah, and also I think it helped. So I met my husband, and he was a fashion photographer, and I just sort of, it got very, very busy for me. Not because we got together, but I sort of moved to London and I was available and I was going to lots of castings and doing lots of jobs. But then I sort of peaked and then that's it. And unless you move to a different market, like New York, Paris, Milan, then you've done as much as you can do. And I didn't want to. I'd got married, didn't want to. I hated being away from home. I used to hate travelling. I used to like going on jobs abroad, but I hated going on stays. So, you know, oh, you're going to do 3 months in Japan or 3 months in Paris. I hated it. I used to come back after maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Just thinking like, this is pointless. Why be miserable? So I was starting my MA in creative writing and I'd already done my degree from airport lounges and wherever. So I did my literature degree. And then I did a few sort of postgraduate things like journalism and bits and pieces that I was interested in through the Open University. And then I did my master's degree in creative writing. And I was like, you know what? I need to be having some outlet where I write. God, I've gone on such a tangent, because what I was going to say was that at the time that I started my blog, I was making tea and coffee for this tiny business in Angel. They needed somebody. They were a focus group company. So people used to come into their little lounge at the bottom and do focus groups. And my job was to show them in, give them their brown envelope with cash in. So I'd gone from like making a hell of a lot of money as a model, bought my house, done all that kind of stuff. And then I was doing this job where someone was saying to me, when you arrange the biscuits, can you make sure that you do a chocolate one and then the digestive, chocolate. And then she like explained to me all the way around the plate. And I thought, fuck me, this is...
That's tough. I mean,
and
how
I'd been,
old are you at this point?
Coming up to 30.
Oh.
And I remember my husband... So I wanted to just write. Mm. I wanted to write novels. But I didn't have any focus. And I'm not the kind... As I said, I'm not the kind of person... Unless someone had said, here's your book deal, write book. Yeah. I would have sat down and I'd have written a trilogy. And I'd gone, I've done the first book for you and here's the other two if you like the first one. Like, because I'm that type of person. But because I didn't know that anyone would take it, I'd sit there and I'd sort of cry a bit and then write a bit and go, oh, it's rubbish. Mm. And then by the end of the day, I'd have got nothing done. And my husband was like, you have got to just do something. So I did this job making tea and coffee and arranging these biscuits. Not for long.
There's a lot to be said for getting out of the house and kind of...
Totally.
Being useful.
But because they didn't really keep an eye on me, and so I took my laptop in with me and I'd write my blog between the groups of people coming in. They didn't give me any other tasks. Like now and again, they'd say, oh, can you change the photocopier paper or whatever? And I'd go, yes. And I'd get up. But I had my little desk, which I needed because I had to answer the intercom. So I used to sit there and I used to write my blog posts. And I just loved it. And then I think I started to sort of make maybe £500 a month or something like that. I think that might have been like early affiliate links or something like that, or maybe like the odd thing came through. But I remember it just started to make a tiny bit. Oh, and I turned on my AdSense on my YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. And I remember it saying something like, you've earned $80. And that was in a week, I think, of these videos. And I was thinking, oh my God, times that by four.
Yeah.
Look at this, times that by 52. And all of a sudden, it started to come alive. That was way before I met Dom. Mm. But it was Dom that almost sort of shaped something from smoke and said, look, this is what it can be.
Crystallised a potential.
Yeah. And I think that was the turning point, really.
Wow. And then the rest, as they say, is history, but it isn't, is it? Because you've got to then be consistent.
Yeah.
You've then got to manage relationships with brands. You've then got to make decisions about, like, do you have a big staff of people who... Because I know some people who have blogs or websites have got staff because they just can't test everything. They want to test everything. Like,
right.
What decisions along the way did you make about that? Was it like, no, it's always going to be me?
Oh, God. I'm my own worst enemy, really, because I am a control freak. So no one has ever written a sentence of my content. Nobody has ever posted anything on my behalf. Mm-hmm. No one has edited a video for me. No one has edited a photo for me. So now and then I get my husband, actually he started to do a lot more since we moved to Somerset. He started to do a lot more and it's brilliant because he's a very, very good portrait photographer. Mm. So I was like, oh my God, why aren't we using you? You're here. But you know, still everything that I do myself. Mm. I have a PA and she works for me one day a week. So she sort of does admin in terms of, you know, like call-ins, send stuff back, fashion stuff, you know, if I'm borrowing things. And like organizing day-to-day things. But that's it. That's all I've got. And then obviously Gleam are a huge... I mean, they're really the wheels behind everything. I think people get the wrong idea about what they actually do. I mean, a lot of people don't even know who they are, but there are some people online that are just obsessed with details and seem to think that they're like a... I don't know, have got their finger on everything. Mm. But they have absolutely nothing to do with what I put out other than they're like the buffer between me and if I'm going to do a brand deal, they're the buffer. But... They handle my whole diary, you know.
Oh, that's the dream.
Yeah. And so I know what I'm doing day to day, which is mostly just looking after two kids in Somerset. But if there are things going on, then that is all completely handled. And yeah, they're like the business cogs behind it. But nobody's helping me do anything in terms of content or...
I'm exactly the same as you. I'm a control freak. No one's ever edited my podcast. No one's ever booked a podcast. Mm. But things do fall by the wayside. And I'm curious about if this ever happens to you. To that point, last Thursday I was in town and I got a phone call saying, what time am I meeting you at the such and such? It's like, what? Who new phone, who dis? And it was just that awful thing of, I will be on the train out of London and someone will be like, when are you near?
Where are you?
And I don't mean to be appalling at organising my diary, but I genuinely am. I need to figure that out. So to that point, does anything fall by the wayside? Or was that when you were like, I need a PA one day a week?
No, it doesn't. I think because I'm here so infrequently, if I'm here, I know what I'm here for. Yeah. So it doesn't happen anymore so much. But it's more stuff like, if I've got a lot of work going on, you know, deadlines and things like that, then they'll be on it. Like, where's this? Mm. Remember, you've got to film that tomorrow. How are you getting on? Do you need any help logistically doing this shoot? Or do you have your idea for this thing that's come through, you know? Yeah. So that it's just constant reminders. I mean, I might have maybe like 12 emails from Charlotte at Gleam every day.
Amazing.
With different things that are going on, and most of it, you know, would you do this, would you do this job, because normally they know that it's probably going to be a no, because there's so much stuff that I won't do. Mm. But they, you know,
how
they
do
want
you
to
draw
check
those lines?
I just have to sort of love. Either it's a product that I know already and really love, or it's a new launch that I really love, or sometimes it might be, I mean, I still have to genuinely like it, but it might be that it's got a story behind it or something that I can make really interesting content from. Mm. Because for me, that's the thing that's paramount. It's got to have some value for whoever's watching. Because if you're just shouting a sponsored thing at somebody just to take the cash, and there is absolutely no value in it for your audience, I think your time is limited. Because for me, if somebody does that once, okay, fine, I'll give you that. Twice, I'm like, oh, come on, mate, what are you doing here? And then three times, you gradually just phase people out, don't you? And for me, I mean, your audience is everything. Because what is it? Otherwise, you're just shouting into a void. And what's the value of that to somebody? You know, so then your business is no business. You have no audience. Mm. It's absolutely pointless. So for me, everything that I think about is like, how is this of value?
Yeah.
What does this add to my content? And Gleam was very good. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming in. They're always very good at sort of filtering. And they know me and they know my content. But now and again, they'll just, you know, check and see, like, is this something that you'd be interested in? Because sometimes I'm quite obscure. I'm like, an iron giant, you say?
Barry.
Oh, I'm sure that would make a great story.
Because the reason why I was obsessed with Barry is because we were originally going to record this down on Barry's pad. But it was the fact that you're in town today that we could make it work.
Yeah,
but
hungover Crilly.
Although, can I just say, listeners, at the beginning of this podcast, I watched Ruth do her makeup, which took very little.
I haven't done my eyes yet.
Well, it's...
They're not on.
It's looks really good. I mean, you can...
Oh, clean. Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, marvellous.
I was like, rotten animal. I was at my dressing table for about 25 minutes this morning. That's actually a bit of a lie. I drenched myself in Isle of Paradise last night.
Which one? The gradual tanner?
No,
the drops.
The water.
Is that good?
I
haven't tried the water yet.
You can't go wrong with it. You literally...
But you can't see where you're putting it, though.
No, but... Basically, it says saturate yourself and then rub in with a mitt. And so the first time I did it, I deliberately did it like a fool.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to look at how patchy my hands and everything. And I just saturated myself and rubbed it in with a mitt. Do you see any patchiness?
No, and not even, so did you wash your hands?
So, yeah, I do the claw with
the mitt. Yeah, yeah.
And then I just wash my palms of my hands.
Because the drops are amazing.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try that tonight because I do need to do a bit of...
I'm finding it difficult at the moment because I'm alternating like 2-3 nights a week. I do my Isle of Paradise dark drops. Now this is a tangent, but I'm also incorporating vitamin C and a retinol.
Okay.
So I do vitamin C, an intense one night, my Isle of Paradise, then a retinol.
Why can't you do it on the same? It just would go patchy.
I just feel like I don't want to mess. One's a resurfacer and one's a...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually, that's just counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yeah, although School of Baggot, she'll probably have something to say about that.
She will. She'll pipe up. Do you want a... actually, I've only got one. I'll fight you for it. Full fat Coke.
No, you can have the full fat Coke.
Have the water.
No, you have the full fat Coke.
It's very early, though, isn't it, to be drinking that?
No, you've earned it.
I've had my vitamin volcano.
Volcano?
No.
Just hope there's not another volcano.
Let the record show that Ruth has gone to the minibar. I've got Diet Coke as well.
No, I'm good because I've had that. That was my fourth black coffee this morning.
You are joking.
Not that I have a problem.
Oh my
I do.
God. Do you know what? I've never drunk a coffee in my life.
Never drunk a coffee.
I'm going to stretch my arm out to touch you and you might just be air. No, you're real.
Yeah.
You've never had a coffee.
Just messing around with this strange contraption. No, never. One has never passed my lips.
Is it you now just like, well, I'm never going to do it then?
Yeah, it's too late. I'm 37. Oh, that was a task, wasn't it? I'm 37. Cheers. And do you want another coffee, by the way?
No. I'll be bouncing off Jagger.
Bouncing off Jagger. He does look quite hot.
There's a portrait of Jagger on the wall.
There is.
Mick.
And I was quite impressed until Sam Chapman Instagrammed her room, which also had Jagger on the wall. And I was a bit like, it's not so cool when they've done a job lot of Jagger.
No.
Hello.
That's what I thought.
Can we have 150, please, of the A3 of Mick in 1974?
Mick leaning against wall wearing.
Yeah. The one.
The lips t-shirt.
Hi, is that allposters.com?
Well, the thing is that I saw Sam's post yesterday, and it's only because I think her room has a green accent. Mm-hmm. But when I walked in, I was
indeed.
Did Ruth and Sam bunk up? Did they share a room?
Yeah.
I was expecting Chapman to walk out of the bathroom with her hair in a
morning!
Towel turban. You crack on, I'm just going to go back to bed. You do your podcast.
Yeah, it's an odd little... I'm always quite intrigued by hotel rooms.
Have you seen a film called Before You Go, or is it Before We Go? And it's a film directed by Chris Evans, the Captain America Chris Evans.
Oh, right, not Chris Evans.
And they talk about hotel graffiti. And it's really fascinated me. I shan't because it's your room. But there's this thing apparently on the back of pictures in hotels. People write messages and draw pictures. But I don't know if they're... I don't know if you can take those off the wall.
They're not old enough, I don't reckon. Let's have a little try.
No, they're screwed in. You can't get to them.
My husband has had, before he was a portrait photographer, had many weird and wonderful jobs. And one of his jobs, kill me for saying this, was he used to be the person that goes around these hotels and hangs the pictures. And so every single room, they would have to be exactly the same.
Yes.
And you would have to get them exactly right.
Well, who's going to... You can't put them side by side, though, to tell. So I feel like that's...
No,
pedantic.
So it
that's
would be... well, yeah. But then the other day... So we argue quite a lot about how high the picture should be. We've started to put oddments of photos up and stuff in the house. And he hangs them really bloody high because he thinks it should be in proportion to the top of the ceiling. But I'm like, if you've got really high ceilings, I googled it, which really annoyed him, and apparently the middle of the picture should be at average eye height.
Okay.
Which I thought's a really good guide, and it makes
sense.
Really,
it's
good because
guide.
you want to look at it, yeah. You know, ultimately. So I said to him, look, it doesn't matter how high your ceilings are. If you had 30 foot high ceilings, you wouldn't hang it halfway up the wall because so that is a really good rule. But we had a bit of a to-do about that. And he was like, look, I used to do this for a living. I was like, yeah, but they would have been really low ceilings.
Yes. And I go with you. I don't want to have to crane my neck up too
It just
high.
Looks wrong.
It does.
So we've hung this mirror in our hallway.
Have you hung it or does it just stand up? Is it the big...
No, this is downstairs. Okay. This is downstairs. And it was a complete ball ache. And it was almost like divorce stakes over this, doing any kind of DIY together. And it was so hard to get it on the wall. And when we got it on and I looked at it, I was like, why is it so high? It's ridiculous. Right, we're moving that down 6 inches. He won't do it because it was so hard to hang. So it's like a bone of contention every time I walk through the door.
So next time he's away, you'll just have to get a man in to professionally do it.
That would not go down well, I don't think.
Say it fell off the wall and
yeah.
I got somebody
Or maybe I'll be like, I think we need to have paint refresh. And when he takes it down, quickly whip out those raw plugs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's the perfect plan.
That is. And quickly polyfill them in over, never know that they were there.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, where have the holes gone? That's weird.
Oh, when the painters, I don't know, you might paint them yourself. Oh, I didn't even think.
They said they were going to fill in the holes.
I was trying to get a smooth base. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I think they need to go back here.
Problem solved, as far as I'm
Problem
concerned.
Problem solved.
Right, where did we get
sorry.
To?
Sorry. Oh, God.
There's a nugget of information here that I didn't know that I'm now massively intrigued by, and it's the fact that you want to write novels.
Yeah, so I wrote one for my MA. I wrote two, in fact. And then...
Is there a formula to writing a novel?
I am just mad, I think. I come across probably quite sane, but like in my head, completely mad.
I'm sorry, listeners are going to bollock me for interrupting you. What accent does your inner monologue have?
Slightly posher than I am.
Mine's Will Smith from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Seriously?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Wow.
It genuinely is.
Yeah, mine's male.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely male.
I will just say this. As a sort of middle class woman living in Britain, speaking like Will Smith in The Fresh Prince does not go down well, ever. Hasn't at any age. Maybe when I'm
Can you do the rap from the beginning of...
Of course I can. I don't want to have to pay for it with the rights. But yeah, in West Philadelphia,
would
born
you have
and raised.
To?
I don't know. I don't know what it is with podcasting. I don't want to take the risk.
No.
I'll do it on Insta Stories.
Imagine if Will listened. He was like, oh my God, Ruth Krill is on. I better listen to that one.
Yeah. He's a big fan of your blog, I heard.
He is a massive fan. And then he'd be listening and then we'd suddenly crack out the rap and he'd be like, hold on a sec.
I'm bring, bring. These
two. Michael, listen, I've just had another usage.
No, I thought you were going to say he's going to call up and say, I need to sign them.
Oh, maybe.
I'm going to offer you a 5-album deal.
Do you know what he'd be like?
To Tidal.
He'd be like, what I find so intriguing about this dude is that they sound the same.
Yes.
So it's like it's like having twins and they're just so British.
Two Madonnas for the price of one.
Exactly.
Two Madonna. Do we mean Madonnas? Who's a good, really good vocalist? Obviously, Madonna's a great vocalist. But yeah. Identical voice twins signed by Will Smith.
Yeah. I think it makes a good headline.
I think, right, let's push this. Let's get Dom onto it. Dom, put a call into Will. Thanks.
Yeah.
yeah. So you're mad in your head.
So yeah, I don't know. The whole novel thing, it's completely different to anything else, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
But they're finished and kind of struggling with getting anyone to... They were like... it's gone out to quite a few sort of top honchos who have come back and said, we absolutely love her writing, but I don't think that her audience will have expected her to write this.
Would you just self-publish?
I might do. I might send it out first under a pseudonym. Weirdly, I think that the fact that I have got an existing audience has scuppered my...
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
You'd think it'd be the other way around, because I know...
I mean, so people sort of almost fed back to those exact words, really. And one of my friends, who I haven't seen in ages, actually, but she's in publishing. I remember her saying to me years ago, so I was like, look, I've got this novel. I'm going to put it out. I've got this audience. And she was like, yeah, but it's nothing. People won't expect that from you. And I don't think that will work. And I was like, what? Don't be stupid. And I was like, what does she, you know... What does she know? And then people came back saying almost exactly that. So she's obviously very good at her job, which is reassuring, but annoying for me.
That is annoying, actually. That must be annoying to have built an audience.
However, it is about, about five guys who go out on a stag do. And then there's basically this crazy German scientist inventor guy who's made this machine that turns inanimate objects into real flesh and blood. So he's designed it so that you could make, so people have prosthetic limbs, you could put that into the machine, the make it real machine, and it makes it flesh and blood. So I mean, it would change the landscape of it's crazy. I told you it's crazy. It's supposed to be stupid. I'm not actually believing that this could happen. So it would change the whole medical landscape. You know, people would almost be immortal. You could do it with organs. Anyway, he's been testing it out on teddy bears and making teddy bears into these real things. Long story short, these guys go out on a stag do wearing bunny rabbit costumes.
Oh.
Right? And then there's an evil play at work, separate. They end up in this machine and hideous things happen. And this one woman was like, it's literally the most disgusting thing I've ever read. It made me laugh, but I'm also horrified that anybody's brain could come out with this idea. I was like, excellent.
Please tell me it's not up there with the human centipede.
Oh, it is, but not in like, there's no sort of...
mouth to bottom action.
No. Right. Oh my God, no. I mean, that's hideous. It's pretty sick, but there's no, it's not a horror.
Mm.
I mean, it probably is a horror. It's just bizarre. And they're all like, oh, she's mad. And we don't know what we'd do with her.
I think pseudonym or self-publish.
I think I might just self-publish. I might do like a, not comparing myself to Dickens, obviously, but he used to serialise them. All of Dickens' books are so long because he used to serialise them in magazines, didn't he? That's what people used to wait for, the next instalment.
Oh, could you? You should serialise it.
So that's what I thought I might do. And then at every point, if people wanted to have the whole book, just publish it onto Kindle and they can get it and read the whole thing.
Go on to Edward Enninful. Hello, I've got an idea.
What I want to serialise is a really sick story about a scientist who basically disfigures five men on a stag do. And the story that unfolds.
I'd like to sit at a long time spring fashion.
I think this is really on brand for you. I think Prada will be absolutely chomping at the bit to advertise before and after.
Absolutely.
So let's do this. Yeah, maybe I'll send it to him today.
Do it. Spike it over. Let's get a taxi over to Vogue House after this.
Yeah. We're here to let's see do it. Look, with our microphone set up.
Yeah. I've got new microphone stands. I'm not even having to use my hands.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a fun thing. I'm in a very incredibly fortunate situation where it's not going to be putting bread on the table. Mm. And I don't need it to be putting bread on the table. So it's more like it's really annoying that it's sat there and that nobody's reading it. Even if everyone thought it was shit, at least somebody, you know, somebody other than a publisher or whatever has read it.
But down the line, you have two young'uns at the moment, but when they're older, would the ideal scenario be that your day-to-day would be writing novels rather than updating the blog constantly? Would you like to transition from one to the other?
I couldn't give up beauty. But I tell you what I find really stressful is anything where I have to appear. Because I love, if I just write for the day, I can go upstairs 8 o'clock, have a nanny on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I go up at 8 o'clock and I can focus for 10 hours and not come up for air. And I can get so much done. As soon as I have to do a video or do something for Instagram, have to put on makeup, it just breaks my zen.
That's so interesting.
And I love it and it just comes really naturally to me. And I can just sit there forever and do it. I mean, you have to have little breaks, as you know. I mean, it just drive you mad otherwise. But the other stuff, I mean, that would be my ideal situation. And you know what? On my blog, I feel like blogs are on the sort of decline in a way because everyone's all about Instagram. My blog is by far my biggest platform.
Mm.
Bigger than YouTube, bigger than Instagram. But you don't really, you go on someone's blog, you can't see the numbers. You just read the things.
Yeah.
So it's very old school. So nobody really knows that about me, that that's the biggest platform. And the biggest posts are always the ones where I write about some random shit that's come into my head. And they're always the most commented, the most liked, the most shared, the most read.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you're known for beauty. And we'll talk about video as well. But there is that thing of at some point, but it's quite nice to talk about other things. So my background might be as a beauty writer, but I have interest in other areas. But then you sort of, you put it out in the world and you see what the response is.
Mm.
And that's, does that make you edit what your output is? Because it does me, but then I'm in earlier stages. Like if I put something out and I feel like the audience hasn't really got it, I'll think, well, maybe I'll delete that and come back to it another time. But what do you do?
No, I'm... I'm an arrogant twat. I mean, I do, I suppose, but I write what I want to write about. Mm. And if that is the latest lipstick, the thing is, to have that passion and that spark that shows in the writing, I feel like it's got to be something I'm interested in. Mm. So it's whatever pops into my head. And sometimes if it fails, it's like I'm putting out enough content for that to sort of ride over. I mean, I've never been one to really analyze what I'm doing and look at numbers and look at like the time of day that people come and read. I'm rubbish at all that kind of stuff.
That's so, because I know so many people who are very strategic and they're like, they'll post at this time.
I have no strategy. I mean, I'm terrible.
Do you look at your analytics, or do you just think?
Haven't looked for, I look on my blog just to check that like it's not suddenly bombed. But I don't, and even like Lily Pebbles is so on it with, she's like a mine of information about things like that. And I'm, you know, if I ever need to know anything, I'm like, Lily, how do I find out how many people have subscribed to my YouTube channel?
Actually, that was something I was going to talk to you about, and I was going to mention it earlier on because we talked about the Glean Party last night. There is undeniably a really gorgeous family vibe that tangible with you guys.
Yeah.
Like it's like you and Hirons.
Yeah.
Who's been on this show now how many times? We're going to get her back. Wife. Repeat. Yeah. So how did you become mates?
God, when did we first meet? Do you know, I feel like I've known Caroline forever.
That's how you know it's a good friend, if you can't pinpoint when you met.
So funny. And sometimes we don't speak. I mean, we're always chatting as you are, like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't see her for months, but it always just, you fall back into, yeah, she's amazing.
Oh, completely.
But yeah, there's a total family vibe. But we're all so different. I mean, Caroline is so, God, one of the things I totally respect her for, and I cannot do this. She's so outspoken when she really believes something. Mm. She doesn't give a shit what backlash she's going to get because she believes it and she will put that out there.
Hashtag Kat Von D.
Yeah, exactly. But she's very passionate about that. Mm. And even though...
Rightly so, given her experience.
Yeah, exactly. I just respect that she doesn't... She absolutely doesn't give a toss how that reflects on her as a, in inverted commas, brand. Mm. Because she is, you know, she's Caroline Hirons. She's like skincare goddess. Mm. And she doesn't actually care how that impacts at all, you know, if she loses followers, if it doesn't look great, that she's got like a massive big argument going on in her threads because she's put out what she believes in, and I just think that's so rare.
But I think what's nice, particularly, so you've got like just top line, Lily and Anna, you, Caroline, Sam. You see, you even smile, like you're literally, your face lights up when we mention this.
Oh, when I get messages in the morning, I'm just like, I can't wait to open and see what people are talking about, and you know, just constantly laughing. Yeah. But,
the thing is that on paper, if you didn't know, it would be like these people are all in competition.
Yeah, I suppose you would.
Talk
about
the same similar thing in different ways, in their own unique way.
Yeah.
And I very much, when it comes to podcasting, I remember looking at the American model, which is like the guys like Joe Rogan, Mark Maron, et cetera, at the beginning. Mm. They all cross-pollinated. They all went on each other's shows. And it was like, well, if I've got an audience, then some of mine might like you and all of that. So when anyone starts a new podcast, I'm like, bring it. Welcome to the pod fam. And I'm meeting one of my Canadian pod family members later. I'm delighted. And I don't see a sense of competition. And there's definitely none of that with you guys.
No.
At all.
It doesn't even cross my mind. It's weird. But also, we're really bad at collaborating. if we were really into sort of strategy and things like that, then we would... I mean, look how it worked for people like... a couple of years ago when it was like Zoella, Sprinkle of Glitter, Tanya, Jim, Alfie, everybody just in each other's videos all the time. Yeah. And it was an amazing thing for them. I mean, it was almost like watching reality TV from lots of different cameras. And their audiences just were huge, are huge now. I mean, it was a very good strategy. Mm. If I don't think it... almost was a strategy because they were all just friends knocking around together, but it definitely
worked.
It's like
come and film a video. It's like I went round to Nadine's recently. It was just like, well, I go around and have dinner with her a few times once a month, so let's just knock a video on it.
The thing is, we see each other and then we're so busy, I suppose, because we don't see each other a lot. We're like, we should film something really. And we're like, nah.
Let's just hang out, have some Prosecco.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should be on that, really, because it gets very dull just filming on your own. Mm. And now I'm into like 8 years. I'm feeling like a lot of the YouTube franchises, like monthly favourites, outfit of the day that people have been doing for years and years, they're getting very old and tired. And your audience will still watch them because it's almost like a comfort blanket. Mm. But in the last few months, and especially since sort of having the babies, I have started to think, if that doesn't inspire me, why would I expect somebody to watch it? Mm. And now there's like a sort of craze for self-help and self-care, and you know, I've done a couple of those and I've sort of thought, what's going to be next? Mm. I've got a sort of unsettled feeling about things, that there needs to be a change, and like, what do I want to see? Mm. But it's hard, because just having the time just to do anything, let alone change things up.
That to me is like new sense, like when you're on a title and you just have a sense of what, like, who's going to be the next star or like all of that kind of stuff. Excuse me. That comes across as like having the YouTube equivalent of new sense of just like something in the air is a bit off.
Yeah.
And we need to think about what's next.
But it might not even be that it is the YouTube format. Mm. I mean, people are obsessed with Instagram, and I'm obsessed with Instagram. Mm. I mean, I'll go in to look at my emails and I'll end up on Instagram stories and think, how did I get here? But maybe people want more instant video, more throwaway stuff. I don't know. It's you need to have a long, hard think about what you want to see. And this is what I need to do, I suppose, I'm thinking about. And then make stuff that you would want to watch yourself.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like it's, you know, it's been going a long time in its existing format. So I've started to merge my parent... Oh God, I hate the word parenting.
Why do you hate the word parenting?
I just think, since when does parenting become... When did it become a verb? It's like, you're a parent, you just get on with it like our parents did it. There's no art. And then people are sort of writing parenting things when they've had one kid and the kid's 3 months old, and you think, well, how do you know what you're talking about?
So I like Caroline's perspective on that. And she goes,
wait till they're teens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. I just hate the whole thing. I was having a conversation with my friend about 2 years ago. I think Angelica was still a baby. And I was like, oh, this parenting word that people, they just started to use it. It just started to become a thing. I just don't get it. It makes it sound like it's this really sort of precise art. Mm. Or that you're doing something really extraordinary. And it is extraordinary because it's bloody hard. But everyone just muddles through.
Yeah.
And giving it this word just, I don't know, it makes me cringe a bit. But I have been known to use it. So anyway, yeah, I'm trying to merge that parenting content.
Because you do have to...
So I've got the uphill and I've got a model recommends. Yeah. But it's just spreading myself too thinly. Mm. And I feel like the uphill's got a massive audience, but there are things that they would like on a model recommends that aren't really beauty related. Mm. And there are things on the uphill that I write that people on a model recommends would obviously love because they love the random stuff that I put on there. Mm. So it just seems stupid to have it on two platforms. So I'm just bringing it into the fold.
I think not last time I saw you, but when I saw you once when you were with Caroline, a while ago now, she was saying to you, you need to merge it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was toying with the idea of just calling it Ruth Crilly. But I'm so sort of protective over the model recommends thing, you know.
Quite rightly so. It's a lot of work that's gone into it.
And it's very, it's my baby. So it's hard. It's a hard decision to know what to do with that. But I do feel like I don't model anymore. I model for the purposes of my website, and brands book me but they're booking me as me, not as a model. I don't go to castings, you know. I don't go to Paris and trudge around the streets. I don't have a modelling portfolio. Mm. So I almost think that it's not that accurate. But I still love it. So it's difficult to know what to do.
It's you.
Yeah.
But I get, I mean, I'm trying to think of brands that have evolved and changed in a similar way. The ones that are coming to mind are so inappropriate.
It's like, go on.
Victoria Adams becoming Victoria Beckham. It's not the same thing.
No.
Like Ginger Spice becoming Jerry Halliwell. Mm. Why am I thinking about...
Oh, okay. The Spice Girls. Something's triggered that off. The Jerry Halliwell. That's a good one. Spice.
There must be somebody Spice. Who used to have like a...
Ginger Spice.
A name and is now...
I mean, that's worked for Jerry Halliwell, but Scary Spice is still Scary Spice, isn't she?
She is still terrifying, though.
I always feel bad about the Bose Selector. It's so destroying, isn't it? I always feel bad for Craig David. I mean, it like completely ruined him.
Yeah, I agree. But I think Craig's over it now, isn't he?
He must be.
You know, he went to Lisa Potter Dixon's wedding.
Yeah,
because they Twitter campaigned him.
Yeah, no, and I Facebook messaged him.
Amazing.
I mean, I'm not saying that's what made it happen by any Probably stretch of helped. The imagination, but. I saw what they're doing. I was like, oh, I know him on Facebook. Let's just not go into it.
Modeling job.
No, it wasn't actually. It was I was at a press event. I think it was a Fern Cotton press event, and he turned up because I think they're friends. And oh god, I can't believe I'm not going to say this on the podcast.
Well, I interviewed him at his house in North London once, so his flat in North London, and I ended up calling him in the copy. Something like pop music's Willy Wonka. Because
did you call him proper Bo?
No, I didn't. I was very respectful because all around his house he just had these little bowls of varying sizes, just full of chocolates, like
really
lint balls.
Isn't he really into his body though?
This was pre-Miami. That came with Miami. This was just before he went to Miami. But like his place was amazing. But in the kitchen there were like these big tall, bit like
how long ago
jars.
Was this?
Now. That's a good question, Ruth.
Was it a good house or was it...
Oh, if he ever rented it out for an affordable fee, I would move in a heartbeat.
Oh, right.
Gorgeous.
Was it all white?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because his place in Miami was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Really lovely. Like, you went up in a lift, came out, there was a piano. Sorry, Craig, if you feel like I'm giving away too much detail. chat to Will Smith about it.
Did he have pictures of himself?
I can't.
Because did you
remember.
See the thing in Miami when he showed around? He was showing them around the house.
Did he have him ripped? Like muscle
there were
poses?
Quite a lot of pictures of himself. Yeah.
No, I don't think there were pictures of him. It was very.
I thought I might
decorated.
Start doing that. Having
you haven't already?
No, there's no. We don't have any pictures of ourselves in the house.
I've
or the kids.
Or loads of nudes of me just at like
have you?
Nose height.
Yeah, I thought that's what I'm thinking. Maybe I'll start doing that. I mean, the fact that I do live on Magnums and. Full fat Coke does not bode well for the nudes, but
tastefully done like that. What's that video?
Maybe I could wear a girdle. I could be nude but for the girdle. Maybe socks. So there's nothing sexier than nude with socks, is there?
No, there isn't.
Worst look.
Really matching socks, obviously not
matching. I like that really unflattering length where they're sort of ankle, so like midway between
the sock
and...
that gives you a cankle, basically.
Cankle sock. Yeah.
I was gonna try and merge the words and I came up with cock in my head. Or Will Smith came up with no cock for your feet. No thanks.
No. Foot cock.
Foot cocker.
Yeah.
There you go, we've got a brand.
Oh, I love it.
Video I don't even Craig David, we've moved on from him. Talk to me briefly, because we are coming to the end of our time together, sadly.
Oh my god.
I know.
We haven't even covered anything sensible.
I know,
yet.
I'm looking at the clock thinking,
I haven't even said anything
hours.
Funny.
Oh no, you have.
Oh really?
I think so.
Inadvertently.
This is very interesting because this podcast has gone in a way that I did not expect it to go in, and I'm very grateful for that. Because
oh really?
You have a mind like mine. I feel like we should do this again.
What, like squirrel.
With exactly. Mm. With and slightly ridiculous. Always I'm always stifling a joke or saying something inappropriate.
Yeah. We've said cock quite a lot.
Yeah.
Nadine will approve of that, though.
She will. In fact, we should have got her here. I'm surprised she didn't turn up. She looked like Bianca Jagger last night, I said.
I didn't tell her. I don't think that I was doing this morning. Slipped my mind. We're too busy talking about Liam Neeson and just cocks in general.
Oh, 2 litre Revian bottle.
I had two cans of Coke, one on top of each other.
Wow.
Mm.
Cripes.
Had that from quite a good source as well. Can you get sued for saying stuff like that? Or
I hope not.
Maybe we take that bit out.
Mind you,
if you were him and there was that rumour, I mean...
Like, you're not going to...
Why would you mind?
Oh, publicity people, can you get back on it? More people are talking about how massive my penis is. Please, could you get them?
I'm going to find them. I'm going to kill them. Yeah,
I have a particular set of skills. I'm sure you do, Liam.
Yeah. Well, you'd need no skill, really, would you? Just...
Oh, goodness. No, this has gone in a direction.
Sorry.
Absolutely love. Considering it's the morning.
Yeah.
And this is not we're easing into, like, we're not going to waft out of here in caftans and go and have cocktails on a beach.
No, we're not. That would be nice, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'm feeling can at the moment. A balcony can, a piano, soft lighting, a pool, infinity pool.
Or just sun.
Oh, God.
Any kind of sun.
Some sun.
We went on holiday to Greece with, at the time, a nearly three-year-old and a one-and-a-half-year-old. And everyone had said, don't go on holiday abroad with two young kids because it is same shit, different scenery. I was like, it'll be fine. It'll be amazing. Mm. They nap. They've got a crush thing that we can put them in now and again. Yeah, and it is just the same shit, different scenery. And what's worse is that you can see that it's baking hot outside. You can smell the suntan lotion because you've put it on. Mm. Your paperback is there, like with your sunglasses perched on top. But you can't take the kids outside because it's too hot for them.
So what would you do if you could go back? Would you just take them somewhere in the UK?
So then we went to Cornwall because I was doing a review of a new property for a Cornish beach retreats, everybody, at beachretreats.co. I don't know. I don't actually know whether that's the URL.
Can you imagine?
We are stopping this for a little advertorial. So I was doing it for this company who've got sort of beach properties in Cornwall. And it was honestly about 10 times more relaxing.
There you go.
Because you can take everything in the car. Mm. Just, I don't know, you can't put them in the heat. Angelica had a temperature for the whole week that we were there.
Yikes.
It wasn't relaxing.
No. Cornwall sounds much better. I went down to Cornwall for 3 days a little while ago. I say a little while ago, it's been 8 years now. And it's
recently.
Yeah. That's how often I go on holiday. And it was so delightful. Just like walking along the beach and the cliffs.
Where did you go?
Cornwall.
Whereabouts, though?
Have no clue. Please don't ask me to be specific.
Oh, okay.
Stayed at the Scarlet.
Oh, very okay. Nice, right, very much. Right, yeah.
Went for dinner at it's James lovely. 15. Smashing.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Fresh air, good to see air.
Every room has a sea view.
Yep, sat in a tub with actual seaweed.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, apparently it's very detoxifying.
Wow.
And I believe it is.
The tubs are good, the hot tub.
So it's a hot tub basically in the side of a cliff.
Yeah, yeah, they're amazing.
Gorgeous.
Oh, I wonder if they put that seaweed in if you just ask for it, because I never got that option. I got Prosecco.
What?
Yeah.
I want Prosecco. Mind
I
you,
got
can't
Prosecco.
Have a beet detox seaweed bath and be drinking.
Well, I would have thought then you just come out neutral, don't you?
Oh, it could be the dream.
Oh, I wonder if you went for a really heavy night out, but had the heavy night out in the seaweed, would it sort of neutralise?
What if you slept in a sea, like propped up in a seaweed bath? Would that be like having an IV drip the next morning?
Maybe. I would
we
worry.
Need to test these
what if you
out.
Drowned, though?
No, you'd have to be, there would have to be a lot of support.
I mean, that would be awful. What a way to go. Actually, it would be a bloody brilliant way to go, wouldn't it?
But there could be something in that. There genuinely could.
She drowned in her detoxification bath.
This is a novel. This is where your head's going. These rabbits are going to end up in seaweed
completely
baths.
At peace. Her body was the cleanest it had ever been.
She was pure.
She was pure.
Yeah.
Pure as the day she arrived.
anyway...
God, that's morbid.
Yes, touch, but it's fine. Yes, side of the cliff, big tub, gorgeous temperature water.
Yeah.
Although I always crave cold water in the summer.
I have to say that those wooden hot tubs are a million... They're the opposite end of the spectrum to the plastic hot tub. You know, the plastic hot tubs that you can buy in Costco and the garden centre that people put in the back garden.
Oh, 10-foot paddling pool kind of situation.
Or just like the moulded it's a jacuzzi, isn't it? Is that a jacuzzi?
Yes, awful.
What's the difference between a hot tub and a jacuzzi?
Well, jacuzzi, doesn't that bubble? And a hot tub just sort of is hot tubby.
I don't know. Reminds me of a joke, though.
Go on.
What's the difference between a buffalo and a bison?
I don't know.
You can't wash your hands in a buffalo. Do you like that one? Don't have to laugh to be polite.
No.
I lost my Birmingham accent for the first part of the punchline, which sort of ruined it.
No, but I got it.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That's all right.
I enjoyed that very much. Mm-hmm. I don't have any jokes. I'm not funny enough, I'm afraid.
I have three that I trot. I have loads, but I can never remember them. I have three that I sort of trot out if anyone's ever like, tell me a joke. One of them's gross.
Well, let's not do that one. Maybe for when you come back on next time.
Yeah.
We'll do this near Barry.
Yeah, we'll sit, okay.
We can sort of perk. Is Barry sittable on?
Do you know what? I tried and I did it in my slippers. I had to do a run-up and I thought that I had shoes on, but I actually had some stupid furry slipper things and I almost broke my toe on his back. So I haven't tried it since. He's quite difficult to mount.
In which case, we just get some patio furniture. Do it in the shade of Barry.
We could do it in the shade of Barry. We could sit on a picnic blanket on the grass.
Oh, nice.
We could sit in the kids' play area. I don't want to say double-ended for some reason. It sounds really rude. I've got a double-ended rocker. Why does that sound so rude?
Because
it's a plastic whale and it's a seesaw, but it's like it's on the floor.
Sure.
So we could sit on that.
Next time you go to the children's seesaw shop, don't ask for a double-ended.
Do you have anything double-ended?
Anything double-ended and durable and waterproof, preferably.
Yeah. And do you have it in blue? Does it have a whale's face on it?
Oh, God. this is
Moby Dick.
My life. I think we should write a book together. It could be a fusion of what's in your
so
head
gross.
With like salacious celebrity gossip.
Yeah,
and
be
nonsense.
Actually, that'd be good.
It would be good.
You've got. I mean, to be honest, I was disappointed that we had to start recording because your story is about celebrity weddings. I'm fascinated.
But it's how I make myself re-invitable places. I give you a bit and then I just leave you hanging.
Ah, you're like, oh my God, I've got to have Emma around for dinner. Got to finish that story.
10 years on a celebrity magazine does make you an interesting dinner party guest. But then you just feel like, am I taking up all the oxygen in the room just telling this story about X, Y, or Z?
Well, do people tend to look bored?
To be honest, I'm too much in my own head enjoying the spotlight to notice.
I have no idea. I just know
not my problem.
I just know I'm fabulous. So who gives a toss?
No, it's the stuff that I would think was normal and people are like, that happened. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, that's crazy. And I'm like, is it?
That's just normal life for me.
Yeah, exactly. I feel as though I want to ask you so much more, but I literally have to get a train, which is the most...
Should we do a quick fire round? Do you ever do that?
I haven't. Okay.
Do you want to know stuff like dog or cat, shower or bath? Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Kill me now.
Wait.
You could limit me to a sentence per answer.
Well, if it's a quick fire round, it's just one or the other, isn't it?
Or one word.
Shower or bath?
Bath.
Right. towel dry or air dry?
Which part?
Hair. Okay, Jagger or Styles?
Oh, God. I'd worry that Jagger's knob would fall off from age. Styles. It'd have to be Styles. Oh, God. That just reminds me of when I used to go to the gym many moons ago and women used to dry their pubes with the hair dryers. Have you ever seen that happen? Oh, it was...
What gyms do you go to?
It was called Holmes Place.
Oh, God.
I think
great.
It got taken over by Virgin Active. But it used to happen on a regular basis and they would be there like propped up with one leg drying the bush. People don't really have a bush anymore, I suppose. So, I mean, apart from... me. I don't know. Do people have...
Well...
Is it a thing?
I don't know. I'm out of the loop on the whole waxing trends.
I've never had a wax.
Oh, you've never... I mean, you've never lived.
It sounds horrendous, to be quite honest.
No, I mean, I remember... I used to write about it a lot because the whole trend of the Hollywood and the Brazilian...
What, so did you used to test it out?
I used to love, I always used to, every 4 weeks.
It was kale.
No, after a while. The hair gets weaker, doesn't it?
I have no sense. I can't feel anything down there anymore. No, Liam Neeson could come on in and I wouldn't even feel it.
I don't know what happens, what you think happens in a wax, but nothing that would conflict with what Liam does. So I used to write about them.
What, are you not once. Supposed to have hair in that bit? Or all the way up?
Muscular tube.
Oh, God.
When I saw that post that Caroline did about Huda talking about bleaching your vaginas.
I mean.
And she wrote something about muscular tube. And I looked at it and I went, oh, my God, I'd totally call my band that if I had one. And then that was your comment.
It's like we're the same person. We're not just voice twins. We're brain twins.
I couldn't come up with anything as ingenious as the rabbits. Men rabbits. Man rabbits.
I mean, you say ingenious, but it's just insane.
I do think we may have tapped into some creative.
Maybe I should send it to you. You Please can read it. Tell me if it's just bad and insane or actually any good.
I would 100% read it and give you an honest opinion.
Okay.
Would you? 100%. And I'd also, if you wanted to, I'd give it to my mum. My mum was a editor at Penguins back in the day. Her first book was Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Was it? Oh, God. Well, you know, slightly different.
I know. She
does she do freelance editing?
No.
Would she?
Well, she'd read it for you.
I need a freelance editor. Before I can self-publish it, I need someone to go, need to cut that bit out.
I'm sure if you asked her, or I'm sure if I said, would you read this, but also would you offer some critique? I'm sure she would. She's brilliant with stuff like that. She reads more than, she's always a book in her hand.
Oh my
or
God,
she's
this
watching
is amazing.
NCIS and or like...
And with a book.
Chuck and Muck, boot fair programmes. She's... Wow. Loves her antiques and her
very eclectic.
Wine. Very, but reads constantly.
All right, I'm going to send it.
Okay, there you go, mother. You've got work to do.
I'm going to
have to go and this is devastating.
I know.
You're coming back.
Yeah.
We'll do that thing. We're going to plan a trip.
Yeah.
I'll come and see you.
With me, why don't we do a three-way?
Well, that...
On my then... double-ended.
Also, do you know Lindsay Kelk from Full Coverage?
Yes.
I was talking to her the other day because when she's back for her book tour, we were like, we're going to steal you away and take you down to Badminton. We should do all of us.
A four-way.
Yeah, because Lindsay is one of the greatest humans in life.
Let's do it.
Cool. Excellent. Listeners, I'm sure that there's more that you want to hear from Ruth. So why not?
Or not.
Why not? Because this is going to go on Instagram at some point. Or just send me a message and ask any other questions. We'll plan another recording and we'll do something a bit more specific. Maybe we'll get Ruth to answer listener questions, whatever you think is appropriate. I'm very grateful for you for having been here. If you listen to this show and you like it, how many stars do we want them to leave, Ruth?
How many? Hold on. Five.
A wondrous five. Oh, God, I laughed like a bit like Flipper then.
It was Who's like Flipper?
The dolphin.
You did!
Yeah.
Can you do that again, or is that just one-off?
No. You can't replicate magic. I adore you all for listening. I think it's time for us to sign off before this gets really ridiculous. And I will see you on the next one. Thanks,
Bye,
Ruth.
Everyone. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed listening to that show as much as Ruth and I enjoyed recording it. Now, if you did enjoy that episode, I'd be so delighted, and I'm sure Ruth would too, if you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review and maybe a couple of sentences about what you like about the show. It really does help a show like mine stand out on such a massive platform. And please don't forget, I love hearing from you. It's one of my favourite things. So drop me an email to thebeautypodcast@gmail.com, slide into my DMs on social media where I'm at Emma Guns, or join the private Facebook group, the link to which will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time and attention. I really do hope that you love that show, and I will be back and I will see you on the next one.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.